Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
And I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz. Nice to see that you're kind of peppy.
Yeah, I'm peppy.
Do you have a little coffee? Did you have a little something? A little schnapps?
Tea. Actually, only tea. Today's 3/28. We're almost done with the month already. I just thought the month just started, but guess not.
In like a lamb, out like a little mini lion.
Yeah, I don't know. Something.
Something like that. There's been a lot of activity. A lot of fun.
Yeah, none of it good.
No. Let's talk about the markets here. We had 8 down days for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, reversing a record run for the index. Remember, we had that incredible long period of time with no bouncing down below 1%, and it was up every day for however long, and then all of a sudden things started to turn over. And wouldn't you know it, last Friday, they decided, you know what? This thing ain't going to work. So
They've had enough.
We're going to pull the bill. We're gonna replace the pull and replace repeal and replace bill. We're gonna knock it out, stuffed, as they say in volleyball. So I guess here's the problem. So with the healthcare bill, there was supposed to be about $500 billion that would be used to help offset the maybe some of the infrastructure spending and tax cut plan and the tax reform and all that. Now this $500 billion is just not there. So markets were pretty upset about that to begin with, and it was kind of into the day on Friday, started to continue rolling over. And all of a sudden, when they pulled the bill, markets said, oh, well, we don't have to deal with that pesky thing anymore. So even though it's going to make it much harder to implement all of the goodie package that was planned and the tax cuts that were planned, and now they're probably just going to go for deficit spending and potentially raising the debt ceiling.
Well, they're going to have to raise the debt ceiling anyway, no matter what happened.
That's just a normal course of our government.
Yeah.
And it will be a fight.
I don't even know why they bothered. Somebody suggested, I forgot who it was like last year when they had to do this or the year before, and they said, why don't we just drop this whole thing and get rid of the debt ceiling?
And just let them spend whatever?
Let him go nuts.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like what they do. The numbers are preposterous to begin with. And I guess there's a fear that they'll just go hog wild crazy. There won't be any, there won't be anybody with any kind of discipline at all in either the House or the Senate or even the president. And it'll go unchecked. Isn't that the problem?
It seems like the problem, whether or not they have a debt ceiling.
Well, maybe
they bump up against it and they just raise it to the next level. And then they raise it and raise it and raise it. Why don't you just stop? Then in the meantime, of course, it screws everything up. There's a lot of time wasted. Just admit that you're a sinner,
Maybe it's because if you do that, there's one less thing that they have to spend a month contemplating and messing around with and causing all sorts of, turbulence in markets and people's lives and threatening to shut down the government. And therefore they like this whole controversy. They like this whole debating process.
Drama queens.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's what it's all about.
Could be.
Well, it's going to be a harder fight for the Republicans now because you have these hard right Republicans that are deficit hawks. And I don't necessarily think there is going to be as easy of a, first of all, a lot of political capital was spent here, so to speak. A lot of, right?
Well, I don't know. Was it?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, all I know is this, that
they didn't spend enough.
What happened to the master negotiator that gets deals done?
I think that they're really referring to Shatner.
William Shatner for office. That'd be good.
Yeah,
that'd be good. Anyway, So now we have the bill is put to rest, and they're already talking about, we're going to get right into tax reform. And Steven Mnuchin's talking about the Treasury Secretary, talking about August. We'll get something done by the August deadline of, the August summer recess or whatever it is. But wait, what happened today? Under extreme pressure from conservative activists, House Republican leaders, and the White House said they have restarted negotiations again on the health care bill.
Yeah, why not?
The problem is they had, here's my problem with this whole thing. They had, they were bitching and moaning for how many years?
Seven or eight years. Seven, because it took a year to get this thing passed. And for the last 7 years, they've been complaining. And yes, they should have done something. They did nothing. They just groused.
Shouldn't they have just had a bill that they were, you know, they could use one day, put together some, the greatest plan possible, put it on a shelf.
Grab it out of a hat. Hey, look, here's the bill. Yeah, we got it.
Exactly. We have a bill that we've been working on all this time. You have a couple of guys, you lock them in a room for 8 years. You say, you know, craft something. You know, go around and talk to everybody, find out what everybody wants, what's good for this and who's good for that, and what kind of money you have to pay this guy off with, et cetera. Get it all together so that when the day comes that we bring this up again, it will be passable and a better plan, not just a cobbled together piece of crap.
Yeah, they should just go with my opinion. Of course, I know you disagree with this, which is universal Medicare.
I totally agree with you.
It's done. They've already done it. Yep. They already know how to do it. They know how to manage it. They know there's a lot of fraud. They can get that money out of there by putting together an enforcement team to stop the fraud. That would just probably be cheaper than the fraud. And everybody be happy. Everybody who has it now is very happy.
I totally agree with you, by the way.
You do?
Yes. You wouldn't think I would. But no, I think
I wouldn't think you would.
I think
my left-wing doctor when I was, he was grilling me about something some time ago, and he says, "What do you think about medical?" I said, "We should just have single payer." Oh, so that took the wind out of his sails, and this would take the wind out of the Democrats' sails. Donald Trump could pass Medicare and Obama couldn't, I mean, universal Medicare and Obama couldn't do it. That's over for the whole Democrat Party.
Yeah, I think that it would be. We're halfway there anyway. You know, half the people in the country, or maybe a third of the people in the country, are on Medicare anyway, and Medicaid. Put those together though, but you have at least single payer. I mean, and then you got the people that will complain about, oh, this is going to kill, you know, any kind of medical advancement, and
that's bullcrap. And the other thing that goes on is they say, well, now the government's going to choose what the doctor can do. The insurance companies do that now.
Yeah. And we talked about this last time. How are the insurance companies making billions upon billions of dollars in profit? And if the government took that over and even squandered all those profits, to squander them, it can't be any worse.
Not at all. No way it could be worse.
Yeah.
No, this is a scam.
Yeah. I agree. By the way, I just want to mention that John's birthday is next week, April 3rd. We're not going to have a show
April 5th.
It was April 5th. So we will have a show before. It's a Wednesday, I think.
Let's see. Let me take a look at the calendar.
Is it April 5th?
April 5th is Wednesday, yes.
Yep. Well, happy birthday. We'll tell you next week the same, of course. And you can open up your presents on the air, you know, on the show if you want.
Presents.
Yeah. You get presents?
There's a couple of things I've been wanting. And so everyone's always bitching at me because they say, oh, you got to tell us what you want, what you want, what you, no one can dream anything up apparently. And so I have to come up with, I can just go buy something if I'm going to do that.
Well, isn't that the problem these days? I mean, people are like, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. I bought it already.
Yeah. If I wanted it and I knew about it and I'd just go buy it. Now, right. There's a few things I forget to buy. I mean, I'm still trying to get a good pizza stone. After I broke the other one.
I have a round one that I used on the grill the other day.
I had a big giant square one. It was dynamite. Using the pizza stone on the grill is the way to go if you can get your temperatures up high enough.
Yep. I get my temperatures up to about 600.
Yeah, I've tried to go for 7 or 8.
Well, that would be tough, but I guess I could do it, especially on that grill. I have to take a picture of that grill. A lot of people were bitching at me about, oh, nice. Well, this guy's
put
got
it
this.
In the show notes.
I got to get a picture. I'll find it. I'll grab a picture of it. But I did do something today, just speaking about buying things that I want. I was going on, this is a small item. I needed razors. I needed razor blades, right? And I needed another razor, what do you call it? A razor itself. What do you call it?
A razor blade holder,
a stick. So I kind of was on Amazon and I'm like, all right, I'll buy the Mach 3. It's like $18 for six or eight or whatever. I did the Dollar Shave Club today.
Oh, okay. My son did this.
Does he like it?
When he first started, he thought he liked it. And then I haven't talked to him about it since. So I don't know. Maybe he's sick of it. Maybe it's not sharp enough. I have no idea.
Yeah. That's right. Somebody in the
chat room. I got a Harry's razor, which is one of those competitors.
Is it good?
You know, it's a German blade. It's no better than the Gillette. To me, is still the best.
I think it's great too. This has a 4 blades. I think we'll see how it works. I mean, they send you 4 blades every month for like $6.
Yeah, it's cheap. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Right. Somebody in the chat room is saying that the perfect gift for John for his birthday is a Theremin. You know,
a genuine Theremin would be a great gift. Yeah,
that would be a great gift. Let's talk about the markets. Last week again was the worst week for the markets in 2017. Down more than 1%. But what's going on in the markets is, again, still the buy any dip because we think that something's going to happen and the carrot continues to be waved. And what happened last week was interesting. The Dow Jones was off by 150 points on Monday and then bounced. The S&P clipped a 50-day moving average for the first time since the election. I have a chart here on the show notes over on DH Unplugged. You can check that out. Just click on that. So check this out. This is interesting. You see this chart? This is the 50-day and the 200-day moving average. The red is the 50-day. The blue line is the 200-day moving average. A little bit hidden by my comment there.
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
However, you could see that clearly we were, you know, a couple things to notice here. Number one, the 50-day and the 200-day moving average are both moving and sloped up. That's a good thing. Generally, the S&P 500 will continue along the 50-day moving average until it bounces. 3 is the number, by the way. 3 tests of it is always a concern. But the first test we had, this is the first test since the election, and it fell right through the 50-day moving average and finished up higher above it.
Okay, so that's good.
That's good. But what I wanted to talk about was, what's the point of this whole moving average thing? Why is it that, you know, you could just pretty much draw a 50-day moving average on a chart for a major index like the S&P 500 or some stocks for that matter? And why is it that that is a point that oftentimes people will step in and buy? Right? I mean, what's the magic behind this? And there's things like the 50-day, the 100-day, the 200-day. Some people look at the 150-day. It's this. There's no magic. There's no algorithm. There's no specialty involved in this whole 50-day moving average. It's just an accepted average.
It's the gentleman's agreement.
It's a gentleman's agreement. It's an average where the institutions will say, well, that's a level that we will step in. And exactly. So what happens is everybody does it. It's accepted. Therefore, that's why everybody else does it and accepts it. And that's why you, as the investor, should at least look at it in a reasonable fashion as something that, if it hits the 50-day and it holds, that's a good thing. It may bounce off of that, because then what happens is, once you get a successful test of the 50-day or the 100-day or the 200-day, whatever it is, and you have support, now all of a sudden the narrative is, well, we held the 50-day support. That means there's other buyers out there willing to step in as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So now on the other hand, let's talk about this in reverse. When you have a situation where you have the 50-day moving average and the stock or the index is below it and it bounces up into the 50-day moving average, especially
that's a ceiling.
That's a ceiling. It turns into a ceiling. And especially you have to look at the slope. So if a slope is moving up, that's actually a bullish commentary on the markets. And if it's moving down, it's more of a bearish commentary on the market. So if it's going to, let's put it this way. If the index or the stock follows, and we are saying it will follow, generally speaking, the slope of the 50-day average, if it's moving down, then you have to respect the fact that probably it will be moving lower over time. Does that make sense? So it all kind of just all works together.
Yeah, it's because of the way averages work. But when you I notice on this one, this chart, it also shows something else, which I think is supposed to be bullish, which is the 50-day moving average crossing the 200-day moving average back in the middle of December.
Yeah, that's called a golden cross.
It's a golden cross?
That's what it's called.
Well, you got red and blue here.
Well, no, the
I'm just kidding. Oh. Anyway, so okay, what happens when the other effect that when the 50-day drops below the 200, that must be a bearish sign, I would assume.
It's called the death cross.
The death cross.
That's what it's called.
These guys, he's got a little blues drama queens in the business. Yeah.
So the whole idea of a golden cross is, again, if you're in the bullish camp, and I've been using this word narrative a lot lately because it's just everywhere. As a matter of fact, I spent
everyone likes the word narrative. Narrative.
I have spent a whole rant on the Disciplined Investor this last weekend about the narrative and fitting the narrative to whatever you want it to be.
Right.
So one of the narratives is, you got this golden cross or you have a death cross. Well, if you go back in history and actually test it, it's not really a great indicator. It's just something that somebody's talking about. Well, and that means the momentum on the short term is better than the momentum on the longer term. So it's actually picking up. That's all that means. Eventually, because the 200-day moving average here is moving up so well, down at 2276. So about 80 or 90 points away from that now. If we do cross that, then you start getting people all concerned.
I would think.
I like looking at a 10-month moving average is a little bit better. There is more consistency about that. But again, it's all in the eyes of the beholder. Let's talk about confidence. You know, even with all that's been going on and this rigmarole about the healthcare and the infighting and who's been leaking what to Russia and who's being sued by who and all this, confidence in the most recent survey that came out this morning was 100 clocked in at 125.6 versus consensus of about 113. And this was the highest reading in like 16 years. Markets ripped from red to green on this news and on the news that we're going to go back to try to do something about the healthcare package. And the market was up, 150 points today, 140 points today on the Dow?
Yeah. Let's see what I have on my thing.
Now, one of the things that also happened was the dollar was
150.73.
Yeah, the dollar was actually selling off for some time, and all of a sudden it started turning around today again, and that was another reason why things are starting to come back, the dollar being strong. The Mexican peso, interestingly enough, earlier in the week was at levels right at where it was on election day. So all of this was going into, I think all of this, the last week or so, has been a commentary. I'm not telling you this from a political standpoint, so please, people, don't get crazy here. It's a commentary, though, on market belief if the president and this administration can get through all the things that they're trying to get through or not. Dollar coming down, markets coming down. All of this is kind of short term, but it's a commentary on, you know what, maybe we overstepped our buying levels here. So anyway.
Well, it seems so.
Yeah. Have you been tracking Elon Musk, always the guy with something new?
Well, I know he's been buying a lot of his Tesla.
Yeah, I think he picked up $25 million.
Yeah, but now I'm looking at his track record. He doesn't seem to be buying as a speculator. He seems to be buying as a manipulator.
He's a master.
He's good.
Oh yeah. I mean, really, he's good.
But he gets in and out. You know, he does dump this stuff. He will buy and sell. And let's see what his latest. Let me take a look at his portfolio. Well,
when Tesla came out with their recent, I think it was $1 billion cash requirement that they did with, I think they did bond and stock. He picked up about $25 million of it or so. It turns out Tencent, the Chinese telecom company, bought a bunch of stuff also. And they put in a lot of money into it recently, into Tesla also. Tesla, even after the major raise, is up. And now they're also announcing that they're going to be starting to ship their solar panels. That seems kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I'm looking at his records here, and he has not I mean, because I look at this to see if it's an insider thing that we can like maybe exploit. And I don't see the I'm not seeing it with his back and forth. He was selling Tesla at 213. He's buying it at two. He bought a bunch of, what is this, a sale? Or I'm looking at a form four, which is what you'd look at to see what this changes are. And he did some deal here. Anyway, I don't look at him anymore as an insider that is something you can say, oh, this insider is the CEO, he's buying his company up, and then you can expect it to go up. I don't know that it will.
Well, he has a new thing. He has Tesla, the electronic cars. He has the battery company. He has SolarCity. He has...
Which is part of Tesla now.
Right, now part, they had to buy that because it was in such bad shape. It makes sense, though. He has a solar panel company now. He also has SpaceX, the rocket.
Yeah, SpaceX. I put that in a separate category.
And now he wants to now, fly to the universe and explore space and all that, right? What else is left? What's left? He has a new project that links the brain to a computer. So laying out this idea, he said,
effectively, and by the way, no one's ever thought of that before.
No. By the way, I have successfully
some government money in it, or he wouldn't do it.
You want to know about a genius? I'm a genius. I'll tell you why. I, on a regular basis, link my brain to a computer daily, right now. It's called
through your hands,
arms and a keyboard. It's an amazing thing that I can program and implement and do all sorts of things with my computer right directly from my brain.
Yeah. Yeah, it's astonishing.
Yep. So he lays this out. He says, effectively, he's merging in a symbiotic way with a digital intelligence revolves around eliminating the I/O constraint. So it would be some sort of direct cortical interface. He added that merging would not require surgery. Good to know. But could instead be accomplished by going through veins and arteries, which, by the way, sounds much more awful to me.
Yeah, it sure does.
You know,
the next thing is what happens when you live in the Palo Alto area too long. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
It's what's the word I'm looking for here? So you know when you have to shove the thing up the who's he watching?
Creepy.
When you can't.
So when the aliens grab you and they stick that thing up your nose.
Yeah, when you can't pee, you do a catheter.
That's good. Catheter.
Yeah, we don't have to. No surgery. We're just going to use a catheter. It's directly into your. Because he says this this provides a complete roadway to all of your neurons. So is he saying that somehow somehow he's now become like a professor of anatomy and biology and the human anatomy, and somehow he's going to have our blood talking with our brain that's going to send some kind of like little neuron impulses to the computer. So I just have to sit there all day in front of a computer and just think. Is that the idea?
I guess.
So the problem is I'm going to open all these.
I mean, you can't backspace.
You can't backspace. And not only that, my computer is just going to open up porn sites left and right. That's all that's going
to
happen.
Well, it took a long time to get to that punchline. Jeez, you got to tighten these gags up better.
Okay, sorry. I'll get on that. Let me see here. What's going on here? Okay, moving along because I think we should. Apple. Big news on Apple. Remember it split 7-for-1?
Yeah.
Or 1-for-7, 7-for-1. Let's see, 1-for-7.
1-for-7.
And so it was a split. So in other words, 1/7 of the price. Now, if you look at the price today, I think it closed at 143 and change or so.
Yeah.
If you multiply that
by 7, yeah.
You get over 1,000. So that way back when a few folks were like, Apple's going to break 1,000, finally did.
It did, yeah.
Yep, so.
How long can this go on?
I don't know, but they have the next product coming out. What is this, the 7S or the 8 coming out next? The 8's coming out next. I'll check it out. Maybe I'll buy it. Did you watch the Hannity Ted Koppel interview?
I saw I only saw the part of it that shows the little back and forth. And the curious thing is, we'll probably be talking about this on the No Agenda show, but this is not the first time Koppel's done this. He did the same thing with O'Reilly and called him ruining the world. You guys are screwing things up for everybody.
Now, who is interviewing who in this deal?
Well, that was kind of baffling too, because it looked as if they were interviewing each other.
Right. That's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah, I thought that was very peculiar. Yeah, that was much different than the O'Reilly situation.
So if anybody out there hasn't seen this yet, basically the question was something like, from Sean Hannity, do you think we're bad for America? Yeah, you think I'm bad for America? And he was talking about the concept of opinion-based news. That's what they were talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, like, that's never existed before.
Yeah. And Ted Koppel, who I suppose is trying to go back to the day where, and that's the way it was, you know, the news and just the news.
Yeah, as if.
Right. So
there was never any opinion slipped into those right. old days.
Right. So do you think we were bad for America? You think I'm bad for America, he said. Koppel responded, yeah.
What do you know? That's what's so funny. It yeah. caught Hannity off guard.
Right, exactly.
I think he was expecting Koppel to be more magnanimous instead of just agreeing with him.
Right. Or something like, you know, maybe not you, but yes, I think that generally opinion-based yeah,
anything,
news-
anything but yes, yes you right. are bad for the country.
Koppel said he lumped Hannity in with other opinion shows, and while he thought Hannity was, quote, very good at what you do, his audience feels ideology is more important than facts. Now, that's the big thing that's going on now, right? This whole, now we're getting into now fake news. Now we're getting into a differential that is starting to develop between ideology and facts, which is kind of a fascinating discussion, I think, and well, trying to differentiate.
Fantastic for the No Agenda show. Right. And anyone else is doing podcasts and analyzes this stuff.
Yeah. I've been working out. I told you I joined the gym, right? I've been listening to No Agenda regularly.
Oh, you have now.
Oh, it's yes.
It's a first for you. You never used to listen.
Oh, I listened, but now I listen, you know, if I had availability. Now I'm like, okay, what am I going to listen? I'm going right to No Agenda.
It's a very good workout podcast.
Yeah,
It's good for workouts. It's good for housekeeping, and it's also good for commuting.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's so damn long.
See, a lot of podcasts are really good at bedtime to put you to sleep. So with No Agenda.
No, we have noises that wakes you up. That's what all those sound effects are for.
Is that what it is?
Wake you up. What did I miss?
Let's talk about Twitter for a second here. Will this save the company? News recently about that Twitter is considering, again, and that, by the way, the word considering means trial balloon. Setting up a trial balloon of whether to build a premium version of its popular TweetDeck interface. I didn't even know TweetDeck was around anymore. I mean,
I didn't either. I thought it was shuttered by Twitter.
Yep, I was there. I logged onto it recently, and I was right on. I use Hootsuite sometimes for like scheduling and stuff like that, but I usually use Twitter on my mobile. But this is going to be aimed at professionals. The company said last week, raising the possibility that could collect subscription fees from some users for the first time. So if you I don't understand it.
And what would be the difference between the normal service and the premium service?
You know, if you have scheduling maybe, or maybe you have, but scheduling you could do on other platforms as well, unless they take out that from their API or something. I don't know what it would, don't understand.
And I don't do the scheduling anyway, so I'd never use that.
Well, I do the scheduling for like, hey, we're live now. You know, I'm not doing that at 9 o'clock. Do it sometime in the afternoon, throw it up. We're live over here, click here. Let it go.
Let it run at 9. You use it for all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't.
But you only have your 1 hour a day that you dedicate. And when you dedicate, you like, you know, tweet storm.
I do. You notice this.
Yes. It's like, oh, wait a minute. When did John Dvorak take over my entire Twitter stream? You know, it's like, oh, it must be three.
I have to be careful because I'll get blocked by people if they see too much of my stuff. But I try to retweet a bunch. I try to make it as interesting as possible.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have an objection to, you know, what, you know, that's a good question. Somebody in the chat room says $5 a month. Would I pay $5 a month for Twitter? I think so. I mean, I think so.
Well, the problem is, it's like, it's like, would you, after having it for free for the last 7 years,
yeah,
8 years,
yeah,
do you all of a sudden want to start paying $5 or $60 a year is what it really amounts to?
if it is different and better somehow.
How is it going to be better than what you – the only reason you're using it is because it's an optimal product. In other words, it's something you enjoy. So how's it going to be better?
A married man gets free sex for 6 or 7 years, and he can then go spend money on a hooker. Why is that better? Same sex.
That's the point. It's not. It's not really better. It's just different.
So somehow,
so you're not talking about better. You're talking about different.
Yeah, different. Strange, as they call it.
Yeah.
So we have to have a different.
And different sex is different than a different interface or a different whatever, Twitter.
Oh, it is?
Seems to me. It's a little more, at least more interesting.
Yeah. It was just a metaphor or analogy or one of the two.
You can straighten it out with your wife later.
Yeah, exactly. This is all for the show, of course. I'm nothing serious, honey. Facebook. Now, who would have thought this? Here's a surprise. Don't tell anybody, but Facebook just launched a competing product to Snapchat. Who would have thought? Oh. Who would have thought that?
Huh.
I mean, they had the Messenger, and they have their pictures, and now they just had
Instagram. I mean, Instagram is... Right.
It's close enough.
I think Instagram, you could just add a few different little goodies on there and it would be Snapchat.
Right, exactly. But the big thing is the disappearing photos. Like, is it really all about the disappearing photos, or is it all about the fact that you can make these stupid little stories and stuff like that?
That's the stupid part that people like. Yeah. Now, I would say with Instagram, you could just have a checkbox. First of all, you can introduce all the stupidity of Snapchat to, you know, the faces and the dog nose and all the rest of it. You can introduce that to Instagram if people wanted to use that. And then because it has this feature of the thing disappearing, you'd go into a Snapchat mode on Instagram, put the stupid picture up and check a box that makes it go away in, 2 minutes.
It's like
and you got everything. What do you need to do in addition to that?
It's the same thing like private browsing. You know what I'm saying? You can go private browsing if you wanted to and have it encrypted, et cetera, and then it all disappears. It's the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
And it wasn't so hard to do. I mean, the technology was there, and obviously you have some people that leave Snapchat and come on over and, dare say, steal the ideas and what they're doing and move it over. But they're introducing this in their, I think, in their Instagram platform as well as now on Facebook. I don't know if it's been fully rolled out yet. On the Facebook, on their mobile. But again, this, the only thing that I thought was really cool and what was interesting was the fact, if you put it I stopped adding stuff to my, I think it's called my memories or my day or whatever it's called on Snapchat, because I get these things from people. Oh, you were there. I'm like, wait, why are you trolling me here? Like, what's going on? I just now will forward it to certain people here and there, and we'll have every once in a while. The novelty, by the way, has worn off. But every once in a while, I'll post a little stupid something.
I think the novelty definitely has worn off.
Yeah, last week, you could put your face in a squirrel face. That was fun. It was like a whole squirrel, and your face would just be the squirrel's face.
That's fantastic.
That was hysterical. I have to catch myself here. I'm laughing so hard. Obama's climate change laws seem to be going by the wayside. Been overwritten today by executive order. And it looks like we're going back to coal. Seems like we're doing the backpedal.
Yay. Coal.
How great is this if you're not in, are you excited this if you're not in any of the coal states?
Well, the coal state people are very excited. And they were in a depression because of they instead of easing out of coal, we just jumped out of coal to begin with. And coal's the new technologies, it's not as bad as it used to be, except for they still have some issues with some of the pollutants that are in coal, namely mercury. But for the most part, it's cheap.
I mean, I think this is a good thing. You think that this whole, I know we've talked about you and I, the whole idea of climate change or global warming or all the different things that are associated with it. But let's be honest, certain things you can't be good. Right? I mean, some of these.
Were you saying coal?
I don't know about coal, but if we're going to start rolling back any of the climate change laws just because...
What do you name a climate change law?
Coal. That was it.
That's
that was
it.
How about the hairspray in the ozone layer? Not using...
That's got nothing to do with climate change. That's an old, old thing.
Didn't we have a hole in the atmosphere because of that or something?
Still there, as far as I can tell.
Where is that hole, by the way?
It's on the Antarctica.
So it's just over the top there. We're not bothered by it over here.
At the bottom.
I'm saying
we're going to look at the globe in an ethnocentric way.
Okay, so
it's Antarctica, not Arctic.
Right, but it's just hovering above that area.
Yes.
So we're not no problem here, right?
Well, if you're down there, it's probably not healthy, and I think it every once in a while wafts over and kind of exposes Australia. Not absolutely sure on that, but I've heard that.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about some other things that are important here. People, it seems, are flocking to Dunkin' Donuts for coffee over Starbucks. Now, first of all, I am not a fan of Starbucks. Personally, I find the coffee to be burnt and bitter, and it's not my thing, personally. The blonde is okay, but okay, whatever. But here's
what I'm not a fan of Starbucks, but I will drink it. I think it's drinkable.
Here's the reason they're citing why there's such problems at Starbucks. They're saying they're having growing pains because of its mobile app, which allows customers to place and pay for orders in advance and skip waiting at the line at the checkout counter. And they're saying that the app and all this was so successful that it had these unintended consequences, that so many people are ordering in advance that has created a rush of orders for baristas to handle. So long lines to order have been replaced by long lines to actually get the coffee. That sounds like a bunch of bullcrap.
Hmm.
I mean,
well, it's an interesting bunch of bull crap.
Well, if you put your name on it, you know, Andrew Coffee, or Andrew 3, he's got the caramel macchiato, blah, 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 you know, with the little bit of spritz.
It should be just sitting there. You go right by and grab it.
Just grab it. Unless you have to somehow check in or something, and that's a problem.
I don't know. Maybe people are stealing other people's coffees. That would be an idea.
Yeah, that seems like a really good way, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Free coffee at Starbucks.
Yeah. You just go up there, you see the name, you know, Jack B, you know, and you grab it.
Yeah,
exactly. Again, when you grab it, you put your hand over the name so no one can, you know, see you walking off with it.
Right.
And you just steal the coffee. And that could be a bigger problem.
Better yet, you know what? You get yourself a clear label, like these clear mailing labels. Write your name on it with a black marker and slap it on there when you get into the store. And then just hold your hand.
What kind of larceny we can dream up on the show?
Yeah, and on the other side, just grab where the other side where it said, no, they're here. What do you mean? This is where I am right here. That's what I am. That's the order.
And by the way, why would it? This sounds like a publicity stunt because I don't know why anyone. What was the donut company you're talking about?
Dunkin' Donuts?
Dunkin' Donuts. That's not even. What about Krispy Kreme? That's where I'd go if I was going to bail out on Starbucks. I was a big Starbucks. I'd go to Krispy Kreme and get those donuts. This is still a coffee place.
Those donuts, right? Those donuts are good, I guess.
Yeah, they're good for about 10 minutes and then they turn into a rock.
Yeah, they're lots of oil too. You see when they come right out of the oven? Oh, delicious.
Yeah, absolutely tasty.
Robots, we've been talking about this for a long time, the whole idea of robots taking over and taking jobs. And everybody for the longest time was like, no, that's not going to be happening, et cetera. But the industry most affected by automation, as we would probably both surmise, is manufacturing. So for every robot per 1,000 workers, up to 6 workers lost their jobs and wages fell by as much as 0.75%, according to a paper by the economist Darren Acemoglu of MIT. And why do these high-end economists always have these names you can't pronounce? Pasquale Restrepo.
Good luck.
Of Boston University, okay? It appears to be the first study to quantify large direct negative effects of robots. Like, I'm astounded. The Fed talking about unemployment and slack in the economy, politicians, economists. Why is nobody admitting to this? I mean, I don't get it. Are they afraid their jobs will be replaced or something? I don't understand.
By a robot?
I don't understand.
Exactly. Well, I mean, we're getting pretty close with Janet Yellen. She's very robotic. She could be a robot.
I told you, she looks like a South Park character to me.
She does. It's funny. Got the round head.
Right.
Crazy voice.
Every time she talks and stuff, I'm like, oh, another episode of South Park. How awesome. quickly moving on along. Wells Fargo reaches $110 million settlement over the fake accounts.
Yeah, there's probably more to it than that. Yeah. My wife, we had an account with, we had some wind damage from the last storms. And so I had a insurance appraiser come out and get us some money. And they wrote a check out pretty easily. It may be a little low, but pretty easily. And then they They made it out to my wife, myself, and Wells Fargo.
Yeah, they always do that.
Oh, well, I guess
that's because you have a lien on your house from Wells Fargo.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's why they do.
But Wells Fargo is one of the banks. Apparently, it doesn't. They have a guy there at the bank called an endorser, and he just signs off.
Wow.
So they don't put it in escrow or anything like some of these other banks. So you just get the cash. But in the process, my wife noticed that there are falling all over themselves when she calls in to find out about the endorser and how you're supposed to get the, you know, get this check cashed. Oh, thank you for calling. Oh, it's so wonderful to hear from you. They're just going crazy with the politeness, which I find interesting since it's a bank.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that the endorser in his youth had aspirations that when I grow up, I want to be that guy?
I want to be an endorser. I have a desk and a big rubber stamp.
Is it?
Oh, yes. I have an appointment open at 1:15. Come in. It's like the notary. Let me see your driver's. Okay, good. Stamp. Okay, you can go cash it now at your own bank.
That's the job for me. Daddy, what should I be when I grow up? Well, there's going to be a big, big, big opening in the area of endorsers. It's good pay. The work's not too hard.
There's at least one endorser that listens to this show and is not too happy about being ridiculed like this. It's going, these assholes. What, they don't even know what they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. What about, you know what, you're going to, and not only if you do a good job, you can manage the endorsers. You're the endorser manager. Let me mention something really quickly. Investology, which is the new platform that we are actually going to be putting out, and it's in its final stages of being created, which is a, as we call it, advisor crafted and technology enhanced portfolios. Horowitz, a company here, me, we're putting this out. But what we're doing first is to make sure this works well, which it will, but we're asking for beta testers. And I've done this before on the Disciplined Investor. If you want to beta test, this is real money, by the way. If you want a beta test, if you want to find more about it, you can go over to DH Unplugged. There's a link here. Basically, what we're doing is the portfolios that we manage for over 500,000, our core asset allocation based portfolios. This is not a rah-rah. This is a major aggressive strategy. This is long-term money, you know, IRAs and retirement plans. And if you want to have a diversified portfolio that is a fully automated but yet managed with some of the best funds and ETFs that are out there, you can actually check this out. And we're asking for beta testers. Basically what we're doing is the same platform, same plan. We're just asking for your help. And if you want to help us out, making sure that there's no bugs, no problems with the process of setting up the accounts and going through the process of the risk tolerance questionnaires and creating your portfolios and then the statements and performance and all the different things that happen in the back end, just go over there and help us out. We're only accepting beta testers for the end of this week, by the way, because it's getting kind of fold up here. You can follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter. Myself also, John C. Dvorak is The Real Dvorak on Twitter. That's on the free and the premium versions of Twitter, by the way. And myself, Andrew Horowitz. You could also listen to John C. Dvorak, and Adam Curry on Thursdays and on Sundays, where they stream live, and you can listen to the podcast, The No Agenda Show, which is guaranteed to do a lot for you. You can do it during workouts, by the way. It's perfect. Thank you very much. Oh, I did check our Coinbase account. We have we have $16 in there. But it would have been $8 at one
rolling
point.
In dough.
Yeah. If you do want to donate to the show, about $16 or 16 Bitcoin bucks. If you love the show, by the way, you can donate. Thank you so much for the donations last week. We got some nice donations in there. We don't go over all of them, but I do respond to each of them personally. So if you do want to donate, please do so. If you don't want to donate, please do so. And make sure that you're generous. Give till it hurts. Currently, the close to the pin competition is Snapchat. A few more days to actually enter. Snapchat was down 6%. On the news today of Facebook. It was up yesterday and the day before pretty nicely. It got up to about just 24, which, by the way, is a very important number. Not the number 24, but 24 for Snapchat. That's where it came live. It priced its IPO at 17. It opened up at 24, and then it just sloped down from there. Well, actually went to 29, then came right back down to 20. Hmm. anytime you see an IPO that gets finally above that opening price, that's a time that screams buy for you. Now, in this case, it got to 24 and then just fell apart. That was the resistance level. And then we saw the news about Facebook. It was down a bit, and then it really collapsed today, down, I think, 6.5%.
But as expected.
Yeah. The global millennials are kicking the old codgers' butts these days.
Yeah, figures.
3% differential. Now, this is a story I want to talk about. We have a lot to talk about here, but do you think this is going to be important and something that's incredibly is going to affect and impact some of these companies like a Google and a Facebook? This whole thing that's going on with Google, I don't know if you're following this, but there's been these reports that have showed that ads on YouTube videos, that the ads that are on YouTube videos that are promoting hate speech, terrorism, and racism, and all sorts of, you know, racial slurs and all sorts of things, all of a sudden, there is a realization by the advertiser, like, wait a minute, I don't want my ad on that. And these advertisers were just blanketly putting their ads on all this Google videos and Facebook videos, et cetera. But Google and on YouTube, and a lot of advertisers have recently just pulled their advertising altogether.
Yeah.
Now, do you think this is going to be something that's going to continue, or is it going to be just, you know, that was that and move along?
Well, there's a thing that, I think it's a problem. It's a huge problem for all these guys. They're throwing money at, they're not getting the results they want. It's really questionable whether some of these supposed views are even real. And I think this is going to continue to deteriorate. I don't think they're going to make all the money that they hope to make. I mean, they were making, some of these guys are, some of these YouTube stars were making a fortune from these ads. And I'm not sure that this is, it may all pull back.
How long after it says you can skip this ad now, do you continue to watch the ad?
Depends on the ad. I will watch ads that are interesting.
Hmm. All right. Well, I still think it's going to be a bigger problem moving along. I think people are going to get wise to this. I would also suggest that if and when there is a turn in the economy, one of the first things that's going to go is the excessive spend on advertising through these social media platforms.
Absolutely. I've that happened before. This is what happened in the dot-com collapse.
Yeah.
And it was grim for about 2 years. These guys couldn't get anyone to buy any ads on the internet. And after a while, it started coming back. And then next thing you know, when the economy picked up, it was okay. But it was grim. And I think this can happen again. I agree 100% with that.
Yeah. We have a few more things to talk about. We're going to leave a few things till next week. We'll talk about the big heist at the in Berlin's museum of a gigantic gold coin. I think we're going to leave the legging story also to next week, because I want to get into this whole discussion of ride hailing. This global ride hailing from Uber Technologies is rethinking its car leasing strategy in India. Why I say this is that we have been, and you have been, very vocal about the ride sharing application from the firm Uber. Now it seems we have a change in the name. Global ride hailing firm. So do you think everybody finally got wise to the idea it's not ride sharing?
I'm actually baffled by this story because they were using, I mean, their whole reason to be, both Lyft and Uber, and I guess the other one, I can't remember the name of the third one, which is the lesser of the group, was always, because there was questions about the illegality. Oh, it's just people sharing their ride. They're driving around, they're sharing their ride. They made a big stink about this. They made a big fuss. Oh, it's just sharing. It's sharing. It's the sharing economy. We need to share. And so they do this, and they make, it's just like that's the litany. That's the mantra, I should say. And the next thing, now they're changing it to ride hailing. That's like, why don't you just call it the gypsy cab model? I mean, come on. What am I missing here?
I don't know. But if there's anybody out there that can put together a, what would you call that? A montage of John C. Dvorak's, we need to make a song out of that sharing thing you just did. That would be the best. Sharing.
Sharing.
Oh, that would be great if somebody could put together one of those things, those jingle things for that.
Right. Yeah, we do that on the other show. We that's where that goes.
Oh, that'd be great.
Hugging. They should do ride hugging. Anyway, it just seems to me that they've scammed the public.
Yeah. Well, so now what they're doing is they had planned to buy Uber, had planned to buy 15,000 new cars last year and lease them out. So this is the ultimate. This is you know, they're going to lease out cars to attract more drivers to get more money in. So what they'll do is they'll buy the cars, they'll give it to the drivers, they'll charge you in app or through your, you know, they'll automatically charge you and take your...
Yeah, they come out of your revenues.
Yeah, exactly. And they were going to do all this, but it suspended this scheme, which is a great word. I mean, it means different thing when you talk in when you get this information from non-U.S. sources. But they suspended this plan or the scheme for a while in December after leasing just a third of the total. And after they burned through millions of dollars over a three-year battle for market share with local rival Ola, which, interesting, that's in India, Ola, which is a Spanish word. Backed by Japan's SoftBank, Uber has cut the incentives it gives the drivers and raised the fares it charges passengers. And in a separate note, Uber is now closing its operations in Denmark due to regulations. Got to ask Curry about that.
Oh, he doesn't know about Denmark. He's from Netherlands.
It's next door.
Well, they're all next door.
So anyway, this whole idea of trying to goad drivers into, you know, working on
Well, how much money are they making there at that Uber company?
They're losing money.
Yes, by the boatload.
Yeah, boatload of money. But it's worth $53 billion.
Somehow. Yeah, well, that's great, isn't it?
Somehow.
They could somehow get some, squeeze some of those shares out of them. Do some collars or something, and yet take a few million off the table. I think that would be a highly recommended.
We only have a few minutes left before we get to the stock picks today. Would you like to talk about the semen inspector device? Would you like to talk about the people selling their babies on Craigslist, or we'd like to talk about the Jewish man who was. We'll save the rest of this for next week. Or would you like to talk about the Jewish man who was actually identified as the culprit in the JCC bomb threats?
Yeah, I think that story about the Jewish guy, that's a young guy in Israel that made all those bomb threats against the Jewish community centers in the United States is pretty funny, since they were all blaming Trump.
It's the worst kind of crime. It's Jew on Jew, which is something wrong. I mean, it was a very sophisticated deal. You know, how he was dual citizen of Israel and the U.S. And he was a 19-year-old guy who was making bomb. I mean, what kind of fun is that? I guess you could just try to mask your phone number and change your voice and call in all these bomb threats around. Obviously, there was nothing real here, but kind of a crazy story that I don't know what the purpose of this was.
You know, his doctor or lawyer or somebody came out and said, well, he has a brain tumor. Well, you know, okay, maybe. I'm not even buying that. I don't know what he was up to. Maybe just giggling and he's doing this. I have no idea.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the semen inspector device that you can use next week, as well as some of these other very fascinating stories that have to be brought out. Right after, by the way, we also find out what you are writing this week for PC Magazine.
Yeah, I have a couple of things because there was one that was backed up and was about these little cameras, and that ran on Monday. And on this one, it was about Windows. You know, there's a lawsuit going on with Microsoft. They're suing, a group of lawyers are suing the company because people who are unwittingly upgraded to Windows 10, many of them lost data.
Yeah, well, it's a bitch of a program.
Well, it didn't happen there. It didn't happen to me. I had two machines that were upgraded without my giving it the okay. It just overnight, boom, the thing's running Windows 10. But I didn't lose any data. But so I discussed the the need for Microsoft to maybe scrap Windows and start a brand new fresh with something that's more modern and not so screwy.
Uh-huh.
Because right now it's all spaghetti code. Let's face reality.
And that's going to happen. What percent probability do you give this?
I give it 100% probability.
That they're going to scrap Windows the way it is?
Yeah. Not today, not tomorrow.
Well, what's the difference? We're just going to be plugged in by our cortical masses of some sort.
And there it is. We wrapped it up.
Right? I mean, what do we need Windows for? We just got the brain. Don't. Just plug right into your computer and just sit there all day. I think I've seen the movies of this, you know, where you just have that. Maybe we'll have a helmet, some kind of a helmet.
Yeah, wireless or helmet
put on. All right, let's get over to the stocks that we talk about each and every week. This is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any sort, of any caliber, of any way, or nothing at all is it a recommendation.
It's just a game.
Just a game where we come up with some ideas, sometimes screwy, sometimes with some backup. And we look at how they go. You could see all of this on DH Unplugged, where you can go over to weekly stock picks, and there's a live look at all of the stocks, what's happening during the day, what's up, what's down, how much we've made on it, what our thesis is, and all of that. So you could check that out over there. So we got kicked out of a few things here. My short of Tesla. So you were kicked out of the long. Remember you went long that? I think it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had to back and forth on that.
You were kicked out of the long for about nothing. I'm now out of the short for about a 5% gain. For about nothing. Yeah, 5%, right. The regulars are still on the list. Facebook looks like it's about to be stopped out. I'm short that. Qualcomm up 2.5%. Interestingly, I don't know the story here, but Walgreens is exactly the price that you picked it on 215. You entered it at 83.74. It's 83.74.
Yeah, exactly the same. It's very funny.
No gain, no loss there. Jack in the Box.
It's going to go up. That's an insider thing. That sucker is going to go up.
I would suggest that probably has a lot to do with, or the potentially it has a lot to do with some of this healthcare reform going on because of drug prices and all. What do you think so? Hello?
I think you might be right.
Oh, okay. I lost you there for a second. Nugget was stopped out. That was the 3-time gold shares. It was stopped out actually today for a 19% gain. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you with
me? I should be here.
Okay.
But you got to talk about Barclays.
Yeah. Well, Barclays just keeps on going.
It's unbelievable.
It's just no matter what, just up 56%.
It hasn't even been a year yet.
620. Yep. It's been 9 months, right? 9 months, 6 months. Yeah. 9 months. That's pretty good. 56.5%. We entered at 720. And more importantly, we both entered that at the same time. We both were in agreement. That's where the power came in there. That's where the minds melded together. And we came up with this idea, and it was just brilliant. Probably neither of us actually invested any real money in it, though.
No, that was the mistake.
Yeah. I think there was a disclosure of one. I must have had that for clients at the time.
Yeah, maybe.
I think we moved out of it, but not for a 56% gain, probably about 20s. Let's see here. Jack in the Box is down a little bit. Snap was your Snap short was stopped out a few days ago when it hit 24 again. You made about 1.3%. Cara Therapeutics. We picked that two weeks ago, up 29%. That was they came out with actually something today. It was up 14% at one point today. Almost came back to a stop point, but not. We have that for clients, too. There's a disclosure there. Gilead Sciences, you're short that. You're up 1.5%. CRISPR Therapeutics, got a big wide stop on here. Up 11.9% today on a couple of different things. Very fascinating company, and I've mentioned this a few times. We added to the position a couple of days ago, actually. It was up as high as, well, I guess it was now about 11.9%. That's where it was. That's up 3.8 because it did come down a bit into it. And your Tronc.
Again, yes, I keep buying that.
4.41%.
So not bad for one show.
Yeah, it's good. It's awesome. Especially because technically the markets have been down since then.
Right.
So I have absolutely zippity-doo-dah this week.
Hey, congratulations. I have the exact same thing.
Oh, we're in agreement. We'll put a purple line.
I think that's the symbol ZIP.
Yes, exactly. It's just that so many things are overdone right now, but yet, you know, there's been this crazy squeeze that goes on. You know, you look at some stocks like Restoration Hardware is out tonight, up 22%. You know, Dave & Buster's comes out, it's down 7%, then it snaps back up. And very hard to discern right now with the euphoria that's going on in markets exactly how to value things. And you have to say that you want to be on the short side of a lot of stuff, but yet these bounces that happen are fast and furious. I mean, markets were down today and they just turned around and went right back up.
Yeah, it's very hard to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, well, that's going to end it. Again, go over to DH Unplugged and check it out. Check out No Agenda. Check out the Investology, this advisor-crafted and technology-enhanced platform that we have now created. If you want to do a beta test and be a part of helping us out, making sure this thing is solid. And other than that, I think we're done for the week.
All right, we'll see you next Tuesday.
All right, great. Happy birthday. Well, coming up.
Thanks. Well, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.